All right, Moshe, good evening. So, first of all, B'shus Demar D'Asra, I want to thank Rabbi Wien for opening up his Beis HaKnesses to host this special limut, and a special thank you to Ellie, who really was, if you don't know, Ellie is quite relentless, Baruch Hashem. When he wants something, it happens, Baruch Hashem. So, but a very special thank you to him. I've actually been wanting to learn Ish Kodesh, the teachings of the Piagetzna, for a long time, like in a seder, in an order, lav dafka according to the parsha, but just to go through, as you're going to see, when you learn the Ish Kodesh, even though all of the Divrei Torah are connected to a particular parsha, a particular Yom Tov, but the truth is the Torah itself defies tethering to any one particular parasha. Each idea is olam b'fnei atzmo. But what I'd like to actually do tonight, and maybe for the next 2 weeks, is to focus a little bit on the background of the life of the Rebbe. Everyone knows Rav Kolomis Kalman Shapira, known as the Piagetzna, from his role during the war. Specifically, again, he was known as the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. But the truth is, that was only for 3 years of his life. Even though the Rebbe dies at a young age, he's murdered by the Nazis, Machshon Bezichron, at the age of 55. But he has an incredible life, an incredible career as a Manig Yisrael prior to the war as well. And the truth is, to be able to go ahead and appreciate his Torah, so that would be a bit too much, right? I love Yankee and everything. So to be able to appreciate his Torah, you have to understand a little bit about his life, a little bit about his background, and a little bit about his family. So what I want to focus on tonight, I was actually telling Ellie, if you're in Shapsies, I don't know if this is a new edition. I just saw it. I have an older Ish Kodesh, like the one that I was using over there. But the newer ones have actually a whole biography in the back. So that's, we'll have sheets. So that's what I want to focus on tonight a little bit. I will say just, you should know, just by way of introduction, you know, when you learn about a tzaddik, so you connect with the neshama of that tzaddik. It's not just the pshat that you're learning a vart, you're learning a piece of Torah. You're just connecting with the neshama of the tzaddik. And it's an exceptionally holy and special journey. So as we learn about the Piagetzna, as we learn about his Torah, the truth is we're going to see many things. We're going to learn a beautiful Divrei Torah, but we're also going to see the makings of a gadol. What makes a gadol be Yisrael? So let's begin. It's paragraph A. Page number one, paragraph A. Kiben chamishim v'chamisham haya admor zatzal b'sho shatir atzmo. So as you just mentioned before, the Rebbe, the Piagetzna, was 55 years old when he was murdered by the Nazis. We'll talk about his end. He actually dies on a cattle car. He doesn't die in the ghetto itself. He dies on a cattle car after a series of tragic, a string of losses that the Rebbe had both before the war as well as in the ghetto itself. He says, it's interesting. What's interesting about this chronology is it works backwards. So the Rebbe was 55 years old when he died. Ben Lamed Dalet Hoya Kasher Konen Es Yeshivas HaGedola Vehemid Alfei Talmidim. See, everyone thinks that the Piagetzna was just the Rebbe to the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto. We're going to discuss that he established the yeshiva. Now, by the way, I know what you're thinking to yourself, but I want to learn his Torah already. I want to learn. So first of all, the good news is, I don't believe that there is anything on Parshas Lech Lecha. So you're not missing anything out of Parshas HaShavua. I'm pretty sure, yeah. He doesn't have one drush on Lech Lecha. Now you have to understand something. There are 3 years worth of drushes, 2.5 years worth of drushes in this Sefer. Even though the Rebbe tried to establish Minyanim every Shabbat, tried to establish Minyanim every day, as we'll discuss, learning every single day, there were times where because of things going on in the ghetto, they were unable to hold a minyan on Shabbos. So we'll see that the Rebbe titles, each of the drushos are titled and dated. And sometimes, again, the Rebbe will say, B'Shabbazu Hayinu Bechaveh, this Shabbos we were in hiding. And often when you don't see a drusha for a particular parasha, you could trace it back historically in something major. There was some major action happening in the ghetto. So there happens to be nothing on Parshas Lech Lecha, but more importantly, if you want to understand the Torah of a tzaddik, so you have to understand who the tzaddik is. You can't just, you see, I think sometimes that, you know, when we grow up, a person gets a yeshiva education, so you know, Rishonim, Achronim, you know everything, but the only problem is, you don't know who these people were. And that's like most things in life, if you don't know a person's story, if you don't know their historical, their biographical background, then at the end of the day, you can't really grasp the full profundity. The full profundity of their Torah. So by appreciating the biographical background of the Rebbe, we're going to begin to see that background play into his Divrei Torah. So the Rebbe, again, was 34 years old when he started his Yeshiva Gedola that we'll discuss, and he had thousands of Talmidim. Ben Chav Dalet Hoya, Biyom Shebnei Kal Kodesh Piyajetzna, Hichtiru Kirabam. He becomes a Piyajetzna. Piyajetzna, the town of Piyajetzna, still exists. It's only about a half hour, 40 minutes, a half hour outside of Warsaw. And you can see, of course, there's nothing left in Piyajetzna. The Rebbe himself, of course, unfortunately, doesn't have a kever. Again, who knows where his remains are. But Lamaisi was 24 years old when he was made the Rebbe of Piyajetzna. Va'alufam va'asgila esrim, ach avar b'shashin esmana la'admor v'nofev b'sharvit malchuso b'yadrama. But the truth is, the Mechaber here says that the greatness of the Piyajetzna was even evidenced before he was 24 years old. So 24, he becomes the Rebbe of Piyajetzna. 34, he establishes his yeshiva, which we'll discuss. 55, he's murdered by the Nazis in Machshon V'Zichron. But what we're going to see is that the Rebbe's greatness could even be found in his youth. Paragraph B. B'merkaz hakdusha v'atara shebigrojis. So the Rebbe is born in a town called Grodzisk. Grodzisk, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's Grodzisk, Poland. Not Grodzisk, but Grodzisk. So the Rebbe ultimately is born in this town of Grodzisk, of which his father was the Rav. His father was Rabbi Elimelech, who was the Mechaber of the Sefer Imre Elimelech, V'Divrei Elimelech, V'Zakin Admore Polin Bedoro. Biyom Yutes, Iyar Shnas Tarfresh Mentes, V'simen Nosnu Chasidim L'davar, Yom Shenolad, both skip down a few lines. It talks about his birthday, which we're not going to get into right now. V'ikr Shemayelah B'Yisrael, Klonimus Kalmish. So Klonimus, Kalmish, by the way, is the Yiddishized Kalman. So Klonimus Kalman is his name. Where does his name come from? Ashem Bal Hama'ar V'Shemesh. So ultimately, again, the Piyajetzna, so the Piyajetzna was named for his alter Zeda, who was known as the Ma'or V'Shemesh. I put down, you look at the asterisk, the Ma'or V'Shemesh was a Klonimus Kalman HaLevi Epstein, who lives 1753 to 1825. The Ma'or V'Shemesh was a Talmud of the Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk. Now, parenthetically, the Piyajetzna was also a descendant of the Noam Elimelech, was also a descendant of the Magid of Kozhnitz. He has an incredible, incredible yichus. But his namesake was the Ma'or V'Shemesh. Avi Ziknu Mitzadimo, his maternal grandfather, V'ziv Ikuno Shel Aben, Hayodoma L'ziv Ikuno Shel Aviv Ha'admor. So remember, his father is Rav Elimelech, who was the Rebbe, or the Rav of Grodzisk. He says, "Binikuni akdosha shenechtiru b'diukno." But so skip the paragraph C. Haya admor Rabbi Elimelech mi Grodzisk. So may marbe lechaviv eseyelet shashuav hanifla. Now we are going to see that the Piyajetzna, Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapira, was a ben zekunim to his father, Rav Elimelech. Rabbi Elimelech had older children, as we'll see in just a little bit, and the Piyajetzna must have been born to his father at a relatively advanced age. But Rabbi Elimelech took a special liking, a special interest into this boy. Lachshof Musuras Beromus Nishmaso Ulinatzor Kibaba Seno. He literally was this little boy. Rav Klonimus Kalmish was the apple of his father's eye. Odo Tinok Barisa. Now listen to this, and I will say, the reason why this is important is because many of us may be usuk in raising our own children. And it's interesting to see how the Rebbe Rabbi Elimelech, the Rebbe of Grodzisk, he knew that this child was special. How did he bring out the special kite in this child? So listen to this. Hamid Odo Tinot Barisa, where Rav Klonimus Kalmish, we'll call him the little Piyajetzna, right? He was still a baby in his cradle. Hamid Alav Meshamesh Miyuchot. So his father, Rabbi Elimelech, appointed a special attendant, a special servant, Sheyital Yadav Bechol Eis Sheyis Ora Mishnaso. Can you believe this? So Rabbi Elimelech, the father, hired a specific abishares, an attendant, that when the little baby, when a little colonel Kalmish would wake up, so the shamish should wash his hands. He should have negelvaser. That he should have his hands washed as soon as he wakes up. Furthermore, that he should never have an uncovered head. So a specific attendant for the little baby to wash his hands when he grew, when he woke up, and to make sure that his head was never uncovered. You should know, by the way, that that's a mesorah also in the house of Rishin. The Rishin Rebbe, the Rabbi Yisrael of Rishin, who again, the Rishin will actually come in a little bit later, not tonight, but as we go through other limudim, the Rishin was also very makbid that all of his sons from the time that they were babies would never have uncovered head. Actually, the Minig Rishin, which is very interesting, is that the Rishin was yesterday. Wow. Okay, so the Rishiner was also makbid that babies after the age, after the bris milah, would always wear tzitzis. Excuse me. A yarmulke and tzitzis. That the baby should never be uncovered head and never without tzitzis. Which of course is an interesting thing, because the general minhag of course is that we don't begin to wear tzitzis until the child is able to maintain some level of bodily cleanliness. But the Rishiner had this mesorah, that you have to instill kedusha in a child already from infancy. Kedusha doesn't start with the age of chinuch, 5, 6, 7, 8. Chinuch starts mamish when the child is in his infancy. But also Parakzman, so get ready for this. This is an incredible maysa. But also Parakzman, chala hayela desmach lashenis. So apparently, again, when earlier on in his infancy, so Rav Klonam Eskalmish apparently got very sick. He got sick a second time. Zikni achasidim hayu misaprim kama vakama dvarim muflo'im. Shahayu ba'osa zman machalo. Kasher gavra machaloso v'yegia lechlal sakana. Amid harav akadosh v'hesik v'hisir esa klopik me'al rosho v'amar. Kolpik. Thank you. Va'amar, Eineni Rebbe, Ve'eneni Mekabel Chasidim Ad Sheyavi Ayelet. So he says, not the most important detail of the story, but good. Right? So he says, he took it off, right? He took off. He sat and he said, I'm not the Rebbe until the child is healed. So what's happening over here is the following. So the reason I'm sharing this background with you, first of all, is to understand, you know, you don't become the Piagetzna by waking up like after your year in Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's just a very, very, very important yisod. And again, although it might be a little bit late for us to become a Piagetzna, but it's not too late for our children. And the idea that Kedusha has to be instilled from a young age, Kedusha and Tara is instilled already ba'arisa, is already instilled in the cradle. The Piagetzna becomes the Piagetzna because there's a father who is makbid, that the little baby shatim tilas daim, that the little baby ultimately again should not walk around without an uncovered head. So what happens? And again, you see, here's the other piece. In order to raise an inspired child, there has to be committed parenting. Meaning, this is, we're all chaverim, so we're going to speak openly and honestly. And to be honest, sometimes we let our guard down in chinuch, right? So usually it happens most often in long car trips, where there comes that certain point in time, you know, I made a Kabbalah, I'm not going to have the kids, you know, on the iPad or watching videos all the time. But usually it's about like by exit 4 on the turnpike. So already it's like, you know, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone for 2 hours until we get wherever we're supposed to get to. So understand, that's a cop-out in parenting. And it's a cop-out in chinuch. If we want to raise inspired children, there must be an unwavering commitment to maintain the highest level of chinuch for our children, no matter how difficult it is. So I'm pointing this out over here, because you see, the Rebbe Elimelech over here, the father said, listen, I'm a father first, and a Rebbe second, which is an incredible, incredible thing. He removed the mantle of the Rabbonos from him, and said, I'm not a Rebbe until I figure out how to heal my child. So you see again, Kedusha in the cradle, unwavering commitment of a parent to be a proper mechanic. Turn the page. Paragraph D. He says, Ubimamechas Grijinsk, Her Ishu Az Olamos, Vikaro Rikiyim Betfilos, Vitachnunim Lirifu Aso Shal HaKadosh Meirechem. So of course you have to understand. You see, people always daven, but when people realize they have a lot more to lose, they daven even more. When the Rebbe Rabbi Elimelech says, I'm not your Rebbe until my child gets healed. So what happens? So everything stops in Grzesk. At this moment, again, everything stops, and everyone focuses all of their energies on somehow attaining a refuah shalema for this baby. And again, it's interesting how they refer to him. They refer to him as the Kadosh Mirechem, which is amazing. And again, I just want to point out, by the way, these are not like apocryphal Chassidish Maisalach. Like, this is just the history of the Rebbe. These are just documented stories. See, this is Ba'osalayla, Shegia Machlas Hayeled, the Shiat Tokfasa Avis, and that night again, one of these nights, when the child's illness, this is a little Klonimus Kalmish, again, his illness is about to overtake him. Kasher Ra'asa Imo Harabonus, Harabanit Shekvar Ba'o Maim Ad Nefesh. So his mother, the Rebbetzin, sees that her little boy is about to die. Hisparza Bebechia Rabel Cheder Ha'admor Zatzal. So this story is so gripping. The Rebbetzin. So we have to imagine the scene for just a moment. The assumption is Rav Eli Melech, the Rebbe, is probably closeted in his study, davening, learning on behalf of his little son. The Rebbetzin is taking care of the little baby. She finally can't take it anymore. She bursts into his room and she starts crying and she says, "Kach ata es yiladecha, take your son, take your son." Now, what's the meaning of those words? Was she saying, you know, Altera b'mos hayeled? Was she saying, I can't bear to watch the baby die? Was she saying, I've done everything I can do as a mother, now you have to hold him, and you're the tzaddik, you have to figure out what to do? I don't know. I don't know what the deeper meaning of her words, but all we know is she bursts into the Rebbe's room, mamish with tears pouring down her cheeks, take your son. This is such a moving scene. Laka harav akadosh es hayeled, v'yashav liyad mitaso kol osa halayla. So the Rebbe Elimelech took his son, and he sat by his bedside the whole night. The whole night again, he's uttering a silent tfilos, his eyes filled with tears without stop. So ultimately again, in all of this, so the yarmulke fell off the little baby. Lo yo'e lemani gisral ba'asid sheyishkav begilu yirosh. And the Rebbe Elimelech said, it is not appropriate for your future mani gisral to lay down on the bed without a head covering. So again, the young Rav Klonimus Kalmish, he recovers from this illness. Skip down to paragraph E. Skip down. He has, in the paragraph that I skipped, you'll look at it on your own, he has some incredible practices, ultimately, again, that served as a refuah shalema. He ate from a plate given to him from the Magid of Trisk. Okay, look at paragraph E. Asid masir nibe arav akadosh rabbi melech liyaldu apot. Klonimus kamish. V'tikvas rabos tala bo. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Melech didn't even realize the prophecy. Meaning Nisnava v'loyadosh Nisnava. He prophesied and didn't even realize how he prophesied. He said that a son would be a future manik b'Yisrael. And indeed, this was the case. V'tikvas rabos tala bo. And the father had great aspirations for his son. Ach amad atinok araglov umiyad niskala ki achin iloihu umistani bechasi. This little baby recovered, and Baruch Hashem, as he grew to be a young boy, it was clear achin iloihu that he was unique. He wasn't iloi umistani bechasi dos yelad nifla shebina yisera mivasvetzes heimenu umatim dugmoso. He surely turned out to be a unique child, a unique child. Paragraph F. Beretet ubecharadas kodesh. He beat to Amoni Chassidi Grzesk, La Avro al Oso Binan Shakdoshim Baruch Kishon, Shala Admor Agodla Shertzival Opam, Mishahayu Bam Lahaske Lefanov in Yanam Kashim, La Niach Esapisk Os Mitachos Lekarosh Abuna Akaton, Ben Ashasim. So listen to this. When people would come to Rebbe Elimelech with the Kvittel, with some other request, so again by the Rebbe, you write the Kvittel, you give it to the Rebbe, the Rebbe would instruct them to place the Kvittel underneath the pillow of this two-year-old boy. So the Rebbe saw already that this child had incredible and immense boundless kedusha. Therefore instructed the Chassidim, if you really want your tefillos answered, put the kfittel underneath the pillow of the little baby. Paragraph G. And with this, we're going to end with this paragraph for tonight. Od b'terem malu lo shalosh shanim. So remember again, the little boy was not yet 3 years old. The anonym shchorim kisu es shmeach hasidus b'polim. So already at the age of 3, the skies darkened over over the Hasidus of Poland. So again, what is it that darkened? He's talking about over here, World War One, really. So again, but even aside from that, there's a personal circumstance that's happening. What happened over here? Aviv Kadosh Yisov Itifarto Admar Beli Melech Zitzuko Nistalik Lishmerom. So what happens? So the Rebbe lost his father. The Rebbe lost his father again at the age of 3 years old. Age of 3 years old, he's orphaned from his father. So what happens? Ma'orazu Hitbia Chosmo Benefesh Hanar. This event left an indelible impression upon the heart of the young boy. Hakaras Panov Onsobo Kimakir Umargishu Ba'avedoso. Even at the age of 3, meaning, who could imagine the bond between father and son? First of all, again, even when the little boy was, even when the baby was healthy, it was clear that his father took an active interest in him. But again, from that episode when he was sick, who could imagine what happened that night? As the little baby, Kolam is Kamash, lay there dying, his father, Mamish, sitting by his bedside, davening and crying by his bedside the entire night. Could even imagine the kesha, the connection established between father and son during that night. This was nafsho kishira benafsho. So the point that when, even though the Rebbe, even though little Kalamas Kamish is only 3 years old at the time of the death of his father, he understood margisho bavedaso. He felt the loss. Vishonim rabos la'achamikan amar ki ba'osam hayomim shela'achar petiras avivzal hirgish belivo es saro shel imo. Even at the age of 3, not only did the Rebbe go ahead and feel his own loss, at the age of 3, but he felt the pain of his mother. The reason why this biographical information is so important is because we will see later on that in the Warsaw Ghetto, the Rebbe suffers incredible losses. He suffers the loss ultimately of his son, of his daughter-in-law, of his mother. And what does the Rebbe do? You know, what does the Rebbe do? The Rebbe spends no time mourning his own losses. The Rebbe opens up a shul, opens up a network of Bate Medrash, opens up a soup kitchen, opens up a makeshift hospital. All this was done under the auspices of the Piyazhetsna. So, why? Because you're talking about a man who has an incredible deep reservoir and wellspring of empathy. He is able to feel the pain of the other, as evidenced by the fact that at the age of 3, he's able to feel not only his own pain, he is emotionally aware enough not only to feel his own pain, but to ultimately feel the pain of his mother, who has now been widowed. Ben shalosh shanim hikir Avram Avinu es boro. This is actually very halacha lemaisa, right? This week's parsha, even though the Rebbe doesn't have a varta on lech lecha, again, it's lemaisa. 3 years old. Machlok in the Rambam. And the Rebbe, when Avram Avinu was makir boro, but 3 years old, he was makir boro. Uben shalosh shanim chipeis umatza hayosom harach v'atzar be'akadosh baruch hu. I want to go back. Look at this sentence again. Ben shalosh shanim hikir Avram Avinu es boro. Avram Avinu was 3 years old when he found the Ribono shel Olam. Uben shalosh shanim, and when the Piyazhetsna, Rav Kolam es Kamish, was 3 years old, chipeis umatza hayosom harach v'atzar be'akadosh baruch hu. This young Yosem, this young orphan, also found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Es Ha'avi HaYisomim. Avram Avinu found HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of 3. And the Piyazhetsna found HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of 3 also. Because without a father to raise him, he had to reach out to the ultimate father, to the father who is the father of all Yisomim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. O me'ata shayachu kulo. Just like Avram Avinu no longer had a bond with physical father because Terach had disavowed him and he gave himself over fully to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, so the Piyazhetsna, young Kolam es Kamish, at the age of 3 when he is orphaned, he also reaches out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Avi Yisomim, and he gives himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. U'ba'orach ploy areyu misbager bebas achas u'mesima achas ofefes es kol yishuso kodesh la'ashem. And amazingly enough, we will see that one of the defining characteristics of the Piyazhetsna and one of the defining primary themes of the Eish Kodesh is the ability to grow from catastrophic circumstances. This is what the Rebbe preaches Shabbos in and Shabbos out in different ways, and we will see that the tone of the drushas are very different from Tavshin to Tavshin Aleph to Tavshin Beis. Each and every part of the war has a different motif. But the Yisod is always the same. How do we grow from our catastrophic circumstances? How do we grow from setback? How can we take our pain and ultimately turn it into the fuel for personalistic growth? So it's important to understand that the Rebbe didn't just develop this mantra, didn't just develop this shita in the ghetto. This was his life from the age of three. This was his life already from his childhood. At the age of three when he's orphaned, at the age of three when he's effectively left alone in this world, he realizes that he has no choice but to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has no choice but to turn his pain into power, into fuel, ultimately again to set himself on a trajectory not only for personal greatness, but ultimately for leadership in Yisrael. His mantra becomes Kodesh LaHashem. I no longer have my physical father, but I have Ribono Shel Olam, Avi HaYisomim, and that relationship ultimately will be all the fuel I need to be successful in life. I will stop over here for tonight. The Merit Hashem will continue. So again, hopefully, it's not just Maisalach, but you understand all of this is in order to give you just a window into the personality of the Rebbe, so that when we do come to his Torah, Merit Hashem, he'll be able to appreciate it even with greater. Even with a greater profundity and a greater meaning. So, Mirza, we'll spend one more week on the biographical piece, and then in Mirza Hashem, we'll head into the Torah the week after that. Shkoyach.
It's personal, like yearning.